To Capital Events, Mr. Paul Redman.
Thank you very much, Tony.
Well, Paul, when I say welcome, that's sort of a bit rude, isn't it? Because you need no welcome. You've presented this program certainly many times, and of course others on this station. But a couple of weeks ago, Alan Watson and you were talking about your early life and your schooling and your childhood and all that sort of thing. So I thought I'd continue on with that and go from where that left off, basically. I want to ask you, what attracted you to this lifelong commitment to good music?
During the war, and my children would say to me, which war? But they were cheeky. But during the war, one couldn't get repair work done to musical instruments, and we had a wind-up gramophone which had stopped. But very soon after the war, when I was quite a young fellow, say about five, and my father managed to get this wind-up gramophone going with some old Golden Brunswick recordings, which were Tchaikovsky and von Suppe, etc. And the machine was next to a what we'd call a I don't know what to call it, but it had a big mirror behind anyway. And I would stand in front of the mirror and conduct the orchestra. So I would say that's where I got my love of classical music. And classical music is beautiful music.
Yes. Still concentrating on that experience with gazing at the baton rising and falling in your own hand, ever a thought that you would like to be a conductor yourself?
A thought, but it certainly went no further than a thought. I did try to learn music, and I found that I just did not have the patience to learn how to read music or to learn how to play music.
All those funny little dots and squiggles. But in your head, those dots and those squiggles were making a lot of noise.
Oh, yes, and they were going up and down with soft and loud and etc., yes.
Now, you remember, you recalled, rather, von Suppe and those sort of people. Where do you think you first developed interest in a composer or set of composers happened? Who was that composer?
Well, at the age of 12, I had a paper round, and I had that for 2 years, and my first recording I bought was a jazz recording, and that was John Dankworth with a piece called An Experiment with Mice. That was a 78. The second recording I bought from Sandover's in Hay Street in Perth was, one side had Capriccio Italien and the other side had the Nutcracker Suite. So I would say Tchaikovsky has always been top of the list.
And that is interesting too, because with Tchaikovsky, like some others I know, but there's an enormous emotional range, isn't there, from the really dark sound of music to the bright and chirpy snowflake stuff.
Definitely I agree with that. It's very broad, his music. I mean, the 1812 Overture, it is dynamic.
Yes.
Absolutely dynamic. And I heard one version, which I thought was probably the worst I'd ever heard. It was the West Point Orchestra.
Oh, right.
No, it wasn't. I think it was one of the American orchestras. And they had the cadets from West Point firing the cannons.
Oh, right, yes.
And it was awful because that was in the musical version where you use a timpani and a cymbal, etc., etc. The timing is specific. The timing of the poor West Point boys was not the best.
Well, I must say, I can recall the Festival of Perth always used to feature the 1812 somewhere in its program, and I can recall Sir Charles Court conducting and Western Command providing the boom, boom, booms.
Yes, with artillery.
Exactly,
yeah,
exactly. So I know this is an invidious question that should not be asked, and of course, being me, I'll ask it. What's your favourite piece of music? I can tell you what, the vibrations in the studio are immense. I think we'll probably go off air with the electricity. Yes.
But I think 1812 Overture.
Yeah, back to that.
I think that would be my favourite.
Good for you, good for you. Now, Paul, I can see on one of your cheeks there is an enormous shape of lips and lipstick. Now, I understand there was an embrace of you at a concert quite recently.
Oh, yes.
Could you please explain? Because I know Helen, sitting at home listening to this, is just waiting for the correct answer.
I'm very lucky to have belonged to a music group called Music Amica, and two of the artists that performed there were Fiona Cooper-Smythe and Penny Shaw.
Friends of this program.
We got to know them quite well. And then Fiona, during the COVID crisis, Fiona came and rang me and said, what can I do? I want to do something. And we worked out, we had the golf buggy from our office. She stood in the back of the golf buggy, or sat in the back of the golf buggy, with her electronic machine that played all the backings, and she spent 3 hours driving around our retirement village and singing, and it was absolutely magnificent. So as I thought, I had to do something for her, so I did a little bit of promotion for it in there, and went to the show last night.
Well, that's one of the fringe shows.
Which was brilliant. And after the performance, I got a hug and a kiss from both.
Right. Well, I'm going to speak to Divalicious, both of those girls, and say to them, if they don't come in here to give me likewise, there will be blood on the floor.
I say, well, I shall warn them about that.
Okay. Being serious for a moment, one of the things you just mentioned was Music Amica. Now, you and Helen, your wife, were instrumental in providing a platform for our young performers, our good performers, for quite some time. How did you become first involved with Music Amica?
Helen used to play the piano with a group of two in particular, and go to nursing homes and provide them. And from there, one of the women, Margaret Cornwell, Margaret Burness, as she later became, she was very much into the music scene, and there had been established this group of music teachers who wanted an audience for their pupils, and that's what Music Amica started as. Starting in the homes, we go to Margaret Burness's home or someone else's, and it developed from there, where it got too big for homes, and so the Uniting Church in Applecross were very gracious in allowing us to hire that hall on once a month for Music Amica.
And indeed,
and it grew from there.
I was very fortunate in coming to many concerts there Music Amica.
Yeah, and Helen was the secretary for 48 years, I think it was, and I had the wonderful job of collecting the money as people came through the door.
Mr. Moneybags.
Very important one.
Yes, very important indeed. But just to close that little piece off, I remember that the late, great Molly McGurk saying Music Amica was a great force in providing platforms for our young singers. So congratulations on yours and Helen's work there.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, when COVID came along, we couldn't have concerts.
No.
And it has just not survived.
Okay. Paul, you're in retirement from broadcasting now, so what's going to fill your days?
My tax return is filling it at the moment. I've got 3 motor cars, one of which I have to do some repair work to sell it, etc. And I'm terribly untidy in the garage. I want to clean that up. So that'll keep me going for about another 25 years, I would say.
We at Capital Radio are particularly indebted to yours and Helen's work for us over a very long period. But that's not for me to speak about. So we have somebody here who I think is more fitted to express our gratitude for your work for the station. So I should have had a drum roll now, shouldn't I, Rob? Because he is... Oh, wonderful. Rob Nicolay, who's the chairman of Capital Radio, and he's just got a few words he'd like to say.
Thanks, Tony. And Paul, thank you on behalf of the radio station. You've been with us since October 2015, if I've read the volunteer form correctly.
That sounds pretty
and close, you've always put in, whenever you're asked to do, you've jumped from one program to another, despite the fact that you love classical music.
Yeah.
And you have been a stalwart of the station ever since then. So in acknowledgement of that and appreciation, we'd like to honour you with a life membership. And to say thank you very much.
That is top of the wazzer for me, a life membership. There's not too many of them.
No, they don't get handed out like
that. They're not like Wheaty packets, are they? Yeah. That I'm touched, Rob.
Good.
Well, not silence, because that wouldn't happen, but I'm very touched and very grateful. Capital has done a lot for me. It's been a wonderful hobby, if I may say.
Yeah.
I've done most of the programs. Cruising, I didn't quite get to the rock and roll stage because I haven't got any rock and roll discs.
Well, there's a comparison, I suppose, because I've done most of the programs, but classical music, Paul.
Yeah,
I've been happy to leave that with you.
Yeah, that's good. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Ladies and gentlemen of our listening audience, would you please all be upstanding wherever you are in your kitchen or your lounge room and just give three cheers for this wonderful person who we're saying sadly bye-bye, Paul Redman. Hip hip hooray! Hip hip
hooray!
Hip hip
hooray!